Welcome to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast, where we help break the silence surrounding miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant loss. Some of the content may be graphic or triggering, but our goal is to help provide healing, hope, and education to the community. Hello, and welcome to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sydney Rashidzada, and along with my fabulous co-host, Miss April Rutledge. Say hello, April.
Hello, Sydney.
I like your pink robe. It's really nice.
Oh, I've had this robe forever. It's super, super comfy, and like it's starting to disintegrate at the sleeves, so... Might be time for an upgrade.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you're cozy. I'm really excited about the episode tonight. We're starting our Meet the Board series, meeting the board members of Kids Joining Eternity. And we have a great guest to start off with because he is one of the founding members of Kids Joining Eternity, along with his wife. Meet JB Edwards. Hi, JB.
Hi, JB. Yeah.
It's so great to have you on. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate everything that you and your wife, Melanie, have done in creating Kids Joining Eternity. And with that, we would love for you to share your story with the listeners.
All right. It's kind of interesting, actually, in thinking about it being a founder and how many years ago we actually started this. We shared our story a lot at the beginning, and it's one of those things that, a long time ago, it was harder to do, mm-hmm. Especially with the emotion and everything else that goes into it. But then, over time, it kind of became a little bit repetitive. But prior to this, I was thinking, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Since I've actually shared this story. We have so many other wonderful board members and people who contribute and do a lot of work for this organization. And so I was thinking back to where did I used to start, and I think when I've told this, I've always taken the guy's approach, and that's been really, personally for me, why I love the mission and why I love what we do. Is really from that side, because the two sides are different, but I can probably get to that more in a minute. But, Melanie and I got married, we were 26. I'm a very, in life, I guess I'm a very planned guy. I think day to day I'm a lot less planned, but there's always a 5-year plan, and we got married and had, the 5-year plan, and it just seemed like we're going to have fun. We're going to travel. We're going to do all of our things. And then, bada bing, whatever, we're going to have a kid. And so it was really, I think, the bigger first thing in life where it was like, I don't control the plans. And so we were ready to go. We got pregnant within a couple of months, which, saved a lot of stress, because I know that's a very stressful time for a lot of people. And so I was really, and all of that, not really understanding of all the other things that go on with people in pregnancy and different issues and things. And so it's just really more of an unawareness, never had experienced it. But brothers and family had never had any sort of loss related to that. And so Melanie got pregnant, everything was looking pretty good. And, we're bringing in the family. I've painted a nursery. We've put the stuff together because she's a planner too. And so, we were way ahead, not leaving anything to chance that the baby was going to come early. And, one day we had her parents and my parents, and, they're probably at 18D ultrasounds now, but back then they'd just gone to the 3D ultrasound. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, this is going to be really cool. And so we invited our parents in, and we showed up to the place, which is not, they don't do them at the hospitals or the doctor's offices. This is like a photo shop, photography place. So we went in, and this is really the first sign we had, but we didn't know. And they had a hard time getting the baby to kind of turn around. She wasn't moving, you know, a whole lot, and it was hard to really get a view of her face. So everybody kind of was like, hey, that's cool, but that's not really that cool. And so they offered for us to come back and they would redo it for free. Well, I had some work things going on. So Melanie's mom was back in town like a week later. And so, so the two of them went together, and I was having lunch with a guy who I've now been business partners with for 22 years, but we didn't know each other all that well back then. And I got a phone call at lunch, and it was Melanie. She's like, something's wrong. And we went back to do it, and the lady, couldn't find a heartbeat. And, you know, so my stomach dropped, and I thought about it for a second, and I thought, well, I'm not hearing this right. But I looked at Jim, and I said, something's wrong. And he's like, we got a boogie. And I said, yeah, we got to go. So we left. We didn't even eat lunch. And he took me back, and on the way back, I said, I think something's wrong, but I'm just not sure. And so I got in my truck. I met Melanie over at the OBGYN, who wasn't ours. He was off or somewhere else that day. So it was somebody that we were unfamiliar with, which was, he's a good doctor, but it just wasn't helpful for us because we needed Stephen Schlenke. And so he came in and he didn't know us, and he, you know, he looked for a heartbeat, and he said, like, basically, you know, your baby's died. And so I think that not living through a lot of moments, the first part of this up until that point, like, there's still some tread of hope, right? It's like I've never had something this bad happen, right? So there's this shred of hope, and I'm trying to hope and pray for Melanie, you know, and I hadn't seen her until we got there, and we get there, and they come in real quick, and then it's like, it's over. And that, you know, I mean, that's a sudden death. That's not anything other than, you know, I guess immediate tragedy that happens, and so you deal with it, and whatever those five stages are, I don't know what they are, but we just hug each other and cry really hard. The doctor left the room, you know, and you know, I think that it was I don't even know how else to characterize it. It was just the worst moment of my entire life.
Absolutely.
And so you know, then I was like, okay, well, what do we do next? Because when it comes to healthcare and stuff, I'm kind of an idiot. I've got a business brain, not a healthcare brain. So I'm like, I don't really know anything about like abortions or anything like that, but I think, okay, they're just going to go take it out. And this is, I guess I didn't say this earlier, but we were 33 weeks along. And, you know, the other side of that is that we've seen babies come out at 26 weeks now, and, you know, 28, 30 weeks now, and they're small, but they got the NICU and they make it. And that's completely awesome. You know, we didn't even know to do anything about it because it just was what it was. So that's kind of hard to take as well. Anyway, but I didn't know that Melanie had to go give birth. Just had no idea until she kind of told me. And so it was like, oh, okay. So now there's just something else on this. It's like, you know, we got to do what? Or she's got to do what? And so, you know, we go to the hospital, you know, they get her prepped, they go do this, her parents are there, my parents are on their way up. And I guess before we went to the hospital, we sort of split. So she found her mom again and was headed that way. I went home to get some, like, clothes and I guess the bag and everything else. And so I'm on the way home to our house, and I've got to call my parents because we hadn't told them, you know, we needed to tell people. And I called my mom, and I got her on the phone, and I'm on the side of going down Waterloo Road, and I had to pull over, and I said, Mom, we lost her. And that's when I completely broke down. You know, I cried, and it was heartbroken with Melanie, but you're a guy. This is where the guy thing comes in. You're trying to stay strong, trying to support her, and trying to help get through what you got to get through. But at the point that I had, you know, the point that I had my mom on the phone, yeah. I lost it completely. I don't know the last time or ever if I've cried that hard in my life that I had, you know, and had to pull over. But she helped me get it together, and I got the stuff. I got back to the hospital, and And then, you know, we went through the process. And, you know, there's a point where you have respect for your wife and you love your wife. There's, I think, certain moments in time where you think that, like, she's so much stronger than I could ever be. And giving birth to a baby that's, you know, is not going to be living just seems like a weird thing to do and a hard thing to do. And how do you go through that pain and effort and, you know, all of that stress to for no result? Mm-hmm. But she did it. And she didn't even think about it. You know, when she did it, she did it. And so that just shows a lot about, you know, a lot about how people are and respond to certain things. You know, so we get through that. You know, we get out. I remember different emotions kind of going on during the time. And like they took the baby to clean the baby up. We were wanting to get the baby back, you know, because you just, this, maybe it's gruesome or whatever, but I didn't know what the baby was going to look like when she came out. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what she was going to look like when she came back. She's maybe not going to be warm. Is she going to get stiff? Like, you know, we wanted to hold her at that point, you know, and see her. And I remember kind of, you know, being not too nice at the nurse because the baby had been gone for like an hour. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it was like, no, we need her back. And they're like, well, yeah, you know, and it's like, I don't care about your time, you know? So maybe not my nicest moment then, but, you know, and then you go through the process of like, you know, we were going to have a funeral and it's weird, to have a funeral for, you know, a baby, you know? And so I know it's just, it goes back to the whole thing where you're not supposed to bury your kids. And, so it was weird. We went and bought plots and we actually bought three, one for the both of us. So we'd be next to KJ and called our preacher and, you know, had a nice conversation with him. He's a great guy. And he was exactly the person that we wanted to talk to, and then had a small family funeral. And, you know, and they got to the process of trucking on from there. So I don't know. I feel like taking a break, but should I just keep going?
Oh yeah. Keep going. Great. It's great. I love to hear people's stories because there's always moments in it where and I'm sure April feels the same way, where, you know, I know exactly where you guys were at. It's almost like I can see it because we've been through it, and there's some comfort in knowing that this sounds weird, but knowing the pain that I've been through, that I'm not alone in it, and that somebody knows exactly what I went. I mean, I remember that feeling of having to decide, we had our daughter cremated, because we didn't want to commit to, you know, burial, and I didn't know where the future was going to be, and like having to do those tasks of calling the funeral home and setting everything up, it's mm-hmm. overwhelming. And at the time, how long ago was it, JB?
In 2005. So this is 17.
Right.
17 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, when you've got that much time, it's crazy how you can remember the feelings sometimes, but even I can't remember exactly the details of like that time because you're so overwhelmed with grief. And so to tell the story again, it's always interesting what you feel.
I can bring it back when I want to. I just,
yeah,
obviously I don't, it's been a while. So, but I'm amazed at the emotion that comes back every time that, you know, that you talk about the story, it just does. So, so I think after that, and this is where, you know, we formed KJE to help, you know, basically talk and connect to people that are going through it. So when I talk to guys, I'm like, I know what you're going through because, you know, you're trying to be the strong one. Partly you don't want to deal with it because guys don't like dealing with negative emotional things, but your wife's going through it. And you want to support her, but you're not sure exactly how because, you know, you don't know how long, like, it's going to last. You're trying to read her, you know, day to day. She just needs to process it. Sometimes you're really annoying and need to leave her alone.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you're really, really helpful. But, you know, we went through a period of time where we were doing it sort of separately because I didn't take too long off of work because that's just me. And, you know, so every day I'd get up and get ready for work. And the nursery was actually in the hall right next to our master bedroom. So, you know, you'd walk past it every time you'd go from our master bedroom to the rest of the house. So we kept the door shut. And I know Melanie, you know, liked it that way for a while. But every morning before work, I'd go in and, you know, look at the crib and say a little prayer. And then I'd go back and shut the door and go to work. And I thought that was my way of, you know, dealing with it in a way, you know, excuse me, but Melanie was dealing with it very, you know, emotionally and, you know, it's just very, very difficult. So I think it took me, and I tell guys this because she was moving through the steps. I was not, and I didn't know that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Until about, I don't know, like 6 months down the road. And you know, one day just from a series of circumstances, it hit me really, really hard. And I didn't realize it until after the fact. And I was like, oh man, you know, I didn't really deal with the grief. I didn't really know that it would affect me in the ways that it affected me. You know, and I better deal with this and think about it, you know, differently. You know, and I did, but it's weird the amount of time that passed between thinking I was getting through something and then, okay, well, Melanie's getting through it now, okay, to like, wow, I just, you know, just sort of realized I'm not being the person that I really kind of want to be or used to be because I haven't dealt with it. And a lot of that was really not dealing with the fact that I never was going to be the person I was before.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a hard thing for guys too, because you see yourself as like always sort of progressing through, you know, stages of life and different things like that. And you feel like this is a regression, or I did. And I thought, okay, this is, if I'm always the guy that, you know, has a child that he lost, maybe it feels a little bit regressive. And if I'm always the guy that, you know, if I'm always like thinking about that or anything like that, then, you know, I need to move. I need to grow from it. I need to move past it and just kind of let the whole thing go. But that wasn't the solution. And I realized that when it hit me that, you know, that hard. So I tell guys that a lot too. I told our board member, whenever you interview Justin, he'll, you know, they're the first people that we actually ever talked to and helped, through one of our ministers at church just called us and said, hey, these other people went through a similar deal. Maybe you want to talk to them. Excuse me. I know this is messed up.
No, it's totally fine. I tell you what. It is what it is. Tis the season.
Tis the season. But he'll tell you later he was about to go buy a Harley. And I told him, yeah, I bought a boat after that happened and had some really good fun summers on the lake, which I don't regret, but I mean, it was a... If we can't have this, we're going to go back and have a lot of fun until we do.
Right.
Type of a deal. Like, we're going to
live it up.
I need something else to replace this, at least temporarily, until...
Absolutely.
You know, until we get where we want to go.
I mean, and so. That's so true, because I remember, like, after we lost our daughter, my husband and I both, we grieved very differently. Like you, he went back to work pretty quickly, and... it was the summer, so I was off, and it was so different. And I think that there were times where our grief intersected, but most of the time we stayed on our different paths, and it wasn't without bumps and problems. And there was kind of this, element of like, I have to distract myself with other things and, entertain myself in various ways. Maybe sometimes a little bit destructive, but I guess, you know, but I really liked what you said about embracing the fact that you're not who you were anymore, that loss, you evolve and you change, and you kind of have to embrace that and not get bogged down in the what ifs of who you think you're supposed to be and how your life is supposed to go. Because if you think about that loss, what you and Melanie have given to so many people is immeasurable. How long What was the process for starting Kids Joining Eternity? How long did it take you to really dig deep and start the organization?
Yeah, so, you know, when you talk a lot about this, I just have to give all the credit to Melanie, really. Honestly, I helped. I was, I just feel like a lot, we have kids and you feel like, man, I don't know if I have, you know, a lot of time to give to something, but I knew eventually it would happen. And so, you know, she'd been thinking about it a whole lot more than I had. I just wanted to help people. So, mm-hmm. You know, somebody calls and it's like, somebody went through this situation. Can you go talk to them? Yes. I enjoy doing that very, very much. Do you want to put a lot of effort into actually creating an organization where you can do it on a much larger scale? I really didn't have plans for that, but she did. And they were good plans, and she's worked very hard to do that, and I'm helpful and I support her, and I think it's been a really, really incredible thing that, and again, I say that, you know, she's done, because she's put an extraordinary amount of work into getting us from where we were into where we are now. So, to, you know, 10 years after KJ died, mm-hmm. The plan was put into motion, and we went down on her birthday, and she didn't know how to do it, so she's like, how do we go form this? And I'm like, well, we go. So you want a date stamped on October 5th? She's like, yes. Aww. I'm like, we're going to have to go down to the Secretary of State. Let's go do it. So
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Born on her birthday. That is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I know you gave up. Melanie deserves a lot of credit. So do you. It's so important to have men talk about their stories and to share their perspective. Because we give birth as women, we get preferential treatment in this, I think. But I mean,
I agree. It's very sexist.
It's so unfair. I'm so sorry.
It's not at all. But it's the you're the dad, the husband. You kind of become the forgotten person, and dads are okay with it. It's okay. You know, I mean, it is traumatic. It's definitely got to be more traumatic for the person giving birth, you know, and the person that carried the baby. And I get it, you know, and we get it, but we still have a loss.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there are still needs that we have. And so, you know, that's when I talk to guys, I tell them, like, you know, you got to think about it and you got to find it. Your job is to support your wife and love your wife. But, you know, find something, talk to me, go to a counselor, do what you need to do, but deal with it, right? And I think, too, dealing with it at the same time is probably better than the way that I handled it, you know? And that's a lot of reason why I like talking to people, because it's kind of a don't do what I did type of scenario, honestly. So if the faster you can sort of start the process, then you're going to be kind of maybe more in tune with where your wife's at and everything else. And it's okay if you don't have... If there's not one strong person sitting there and somebody else is bawling their eyes out and you're doing the same thing because you just can't, it's okay.
Absolutely. That's totally okay.
Just get up the next day.
And by the way, I feel like, I don't know, I'm going to speak for myself. Maybe I'm speaking for more women than I realize, but I totally really... It meant a lot to me in those times where Omar and I got to break down together. Because, like you said, you feel the need to stay strong for the other person who is falling apart. But sometimes you both need to fall apart, and that's okay. Yeah. And I think it's so great that you are so vocal for other dads that have gone through loss. And I just want to say, you and Melanie have created such a gift for everyone who has suffered pregnancy and infant loss, and on behalf of, I just want to thank you on, and April I'm sure does too, on behalf of everyone who suffered it, because it's there's nothing better than a community to help you through this, because it's really, really hard. So thank you.
Absolutely.
I agree. I mean, Melanie was the first person I reached out to when I had my first loss, which was the year before you guys started KJE, and she was incredibly helpful. She came to the memorial service for my baby, and I don't know what I would have done without her, and I kind of feel like I am trying to pay it forward, the things that she provided for me in those first moments of just complete shock and grief, because she was somebody who had been there and did understand what it was like, and I don't think that anybody should have to go through this alone, and that's why I'm so, so thankful that you guys started Kids Joining Maternity, and it just continues to grow and grow and grow, and I hate that we even need an organization like this, but I'm so, so thankful for it.
Absolutely.
Well put.
Well, this is Pearl and Sydney for the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. Thank you for helping us to break the silence surrounding miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant loss. If you or someone you know is experiencing a loss, please visit kidsjoiningeternity.org for resources and support.
Thank you for listening to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. For more information, please visit kidsjoiningeternity.org.